Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle. And there he goes. Crowder. It's a foot race. And Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know who that's.
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to get to know your foe, Jets vs. Saints edition. So we bring in our old friend who has been on the show a couple of times. We talked Darren Glenn, talked when the Jets were interviewing Terry Fontenot for their general manager slot. And now he's back, one of my favorite people to talk to. I've been on his show a couple of times as well. He covers the Saints for Full Press Saints. He's got a podcast over there. Also does Fishbowl Radio, which is an afternoon drive internet sports radio show. I've been a guest on there, too. It's a lot of fun. Mr. Alex Salas. Alec, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, welcome in, Scott. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat it up with you because despite being in the AFC, NFC, two polar opposite directions, we always seem to cross paths. So great to be on here with you.
Absolutely. It's always fun to talk to you. I'm glad that this game gave us an excuse to do a podcast together again. But I got to tell you, though, the first question that I have, and I think I said this to you before we started recording, what in the heck is going on with the Saints quarterback situation? Can you please lay this out from start to finish, from the beginning of the season? Who's gotten hurt? Who's played well? Who's played poorly? If anybody's actually played well, because it looks like it's just been an enormous mess.
Right. So obviously we all know Drew Brees retired this offseason. The Saints re-signed Jameis Winston to a one-year deal to see if, you know, how he would do in Sean Payton's offense this year. Winston got the start. He beat out Taysom Hill, and really through the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season, you know, or 5 or 6 weeks, I should say, Winston was a guy who was efficient. He was safe. He did not turn over the football. And he was extremely limited, I think, for a multitude of reasons. One being, I don't think he had a full grasp of Sean Payton's offense yet, which is perfectly fine. But the other problem was, the extreme lack of playmakers. I think really kind of limited this offense. I think Sean Payton was doing his best to try and, you know, put these skill guys in the best position possible to make plays and not ruin Jameis's confidence with some turnovers, because these cats are not good. It quite simply, even with a healthy Michael Thomas, we still have one of, if not the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL, along with the tight ends as well. So Winston was efficient. You know, it was very good to watch Jameis not turn the ball over. His touchdown to interception ratio was, I believe, among the best at one point this year. And then he gets hurt against Tampa. They roll with Trevor Siemian. And, you know, the first 2 weeks, the Atlanta game, the Titans game, I mean, look, despite all that went wrong, Siemian did not lose the game for the Saints. He played very well, I thought, and put that team in positions to win those two games. But there are just other factors that obviously resulted in the Saints losing. So now, fast forward, Dallas Thursday night, after losing to Philadelphia, Buffalo, bad. The Saints decide to bench Siemian. Not that he did nothing wrong, per se, but it's just the offense was just so lackluster in those last two or three weeks. Taysom Hill, who can run, the offense needed a spark somehow, some way. So they roll with Taysom Hill, and we know what Hill is. So me personally, when I saw Taysom play against Dallas and look very Taysom Hill-ish, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I know the reality of him and, you know, what he can and can't do well. one of those being play average quarterback play, which he can't really do. But, I mean, nonetheless, he did provide a spark to that offense. He had, I want to say off the top of my head, over 100 yards rushing on the ground against Dallas. So now, fast forward now, that's where we're at now, Scott, with the quarterback. So it's been a rough year, to say the least.
And I thought the Jets had been a bit of a circus this year. It's insane what's going on in New Orleans. They're 5-7, though, which is funny because you would think that they'd be way worse than that. So credit to Sean Payton. I know a lot of people said he had it easy all those years with Drew Brees, and in a lot of ways he did. But this has been a tough year for him, and he's kept the Saints to at least a reasonably respectable level, which is remarkable given what you were talking about because, as you mentioned, they have no playmakers in the passing game, really, outside of Alvin Kamara. The guy who's their leading receiver so far this year, Deonte Harris, is suspended, so he's not going to be in this game. And then you take a look at some of these other guys, Marquez Callaway, Adam Trautman, Tre'Quan Smith, Juwan Johnson. Reminds me of the movie Major League, where the construction workers are sitting around in the job, and they look at each other, and they're like, who the F are these guys? And that's basically what you're looking at with these Saints offensive weapons outside of the running attack. Because, again, Deonte Harris, who is the only one who is really productive, he's gone. And the rest of these guys are a who's who of nobodies.
Right. And, you know, look at this offense alone. Trautman is going to be out of this game with an injury. They're likely not going to have – I would place a 50-50 on Ramczyk and Armstead as well. They missed, I believe – 6 games so far combined. So not having your top 2 tackles, Andres Pete is done for the season. Alvin Kamara was limited in practice all week leading up to the Cowboy game. Ultimately, they decided to hold him out probably because of the short week. So we'll see if even if Kamara can play Sunday against the Jets. I mean, this offense has just been riddled with injuries so bad across the board that, again, Sean Payton has his team at 5 wins, but the fact that those 5 wins are against Green Bay, New England, Washington, Tampa Bay, you beat those 5 teams, and now looking at where they're at now, New England is obviously first in the AFC. Washington's been in the middle of a 5-game winning streak. They're hot right now. Then obviously Green Bay and Tampa, we know where they're at. So the fact that Sean Payton has these wins against these cats is impressive with the – an offense as banged up as his is at the moment.
You ain't kidding that it's banged up because you just said that 3/5 of the offensive line that everybody yep. said was going to be one of the main factors in the Saints' failure or success this year is out. You have Andres Pete, as you mentioned, gone for the season. Ramczyk and Armstead likely not to play in this game. So this is just a mess, man. They have no playmakers, no quarterback, and nobody to give the quarterback time to not be able to hit the guys who can't make the plays.
I mean, to that point, I just want to backtrack to Siemian real quick. His play wasn't the reason why he got benched, right? I think, again, with everything that happened, with all the injuries and the lack of playmakers, I think Sean Payton just needed a boost, and Taysom Hill can run around and scramble and make plays and extend plays as well with moving around in the pocket. So it was just something that I think they needed to do. It's just been one of those years, Scott. It's a year I'm watching, but I'll tell you this. So Thursday Night Football, Cowboys and Saints, right? The moment I saw Kenny Stills get locked up by Micah Parsons on that first interception Hill threw, I already knew it, but that was the validation. Like, oh yeah, these cats cannot ball whatsoever. If your rookie at linebacker slash defensive end is clamping up Stills down the field, who's supposed to be one of your deep threats, I knew it was over.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
The only real chance the Saints seem to have on offense is rushing the ball, and Kamara hasn't been that efficient this year, I have to assume, because the other teams know that the Saints have to do everything they can to get the ball into his hands, and so they're stacking the box, averaging only 3.6 yards per attempt. As you said, still not entirely sure that he's going to play against the Jets, although they did hold him out against the Cowboys, so maybe they were saving him for this game. Mark Ingram, since coming back, has actually been pretty good. And then, as you said, even though Taysom Hill hasn't been able to do much throwing the ball, he's been pretty good running it, 101 yards against the Cowboys. So that is really what their bread and butter is at this point. If you're the Jets, I would think that what you do is stack the box and beg Taysom Hill to beat you some other way, because Taysom Hill is not very good at throwing the ball. The Saints do not have much in the passing game. So especially with that offensive line so banged up, it appears to me that that is the no-brainer way to approach the Saints, right?
Right, yeah, and I think you're exactly right. With no Alvin Kamara, I expect the same kind of game playing with Mark Ingram. And I think that's the problem with Kamara earlier this year, was the fact that, teams knew these skill guys were not going to beat him on the outside one-on-one, so they obviously stacked the box. They put a guy on Kamara and then a guy kind of spying over the middle of the field to travel with Kamara as well, because teams know that, you know, AK is going to get the ball. And this year it's been kind of a letdown just because of all the injuries and really the poor play across the board for some of these guys offensively has really shown that teams know that Kamara, when he was healthy, was going to get the ball. And there were some times, like in the Seattle game, when you couldn't stop him. And then there were some times, you know, you want to look at the Panthers game earlier this year where, you know, they know that he's going to get the ball, they could slow him down.
Alec, I will say this, though. As embarrassing as the offense has been this year for the Saints, the defense has been pretty solid. They haven't been elite by any stretch, but they've been above average, which, considering how bad the offense has been, has to be a little bit of a saving grace. Marshawn Lattimore, as you were telling me before we start recording, got off to a really hot start, cooled down a little bit, but still one of the better corners in the league. Marcus Williams, we know what he can do at safety. Paulson Adebo, the rookie out of Stanford, third-round pick, has been a very pleasant surprise starting on the other side from Marshawn Lattimore. Very productive. Mm-hmm. Our old friend Demario Davis continues to play really, really well. Even though he's hurt now, Marcus Davenport was really good when he was healthy. Thankfully for the Jets, he's not going to be in this game. Cameron Jordan continues to be one of the best defensive linemen in the league. So there are some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. The Saints have been able to be respectable there. Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen from the individual performance of the players on the defense and the defense as a whole there for the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Saints secondary, you know, the Saints traded for Bradley Roby week two or three of the season this year from the Texans, and they assumed he would come in and start on the outside. And that has not been the case. Paulson Adebo has been a very nice surprise for this team this year. I believe he's now second in rookies with interceptions. He's been a very pleasant surprise for this team this year. Marcus Williams, you mentioned, is having another all-caliber, all-pro type season. I believe he needs to be the number one priority in the offseason for the Saints. You got to bring back Marcus Williams somehow, some way. And you mentioned it, Marshawn Lattimore. He's a guy who – here's my problem with Lattimore. The problem with Lattimore is he plays down to his competition. So you want to go back and look at the Tampa game. He clamped up Mike Evans, right? But then the following week against, the Falcons and the Titans, you had the Westbrook kid from Tennessee making constant catches on Lattimore. And then in the Atlanta game, you had I'm going to butcher his name. The number 17 kid from the Falcons, who was relatively an unknown player, was out there making constant first down catches on Lattimore. So last week against Dallas, he played his best against Mark Cooper, I feel like. But that Cowboys team has so many good receivers that you can only hold them down for so long. And you look at the linebacker play, Kwon Alexander and Pete Warner have been very nice compliments to DeMario Davis. It's nice to say the Saints have three down linebackers that could play at various times, and whether it's base 4-3 defense or nickel or dime. The only problem is with the defensive line, the lack of pressure. Obviously, this team missed David Onyemata for the first six games of the season. And then Marcus Davenport went down with injury. First off, like Payne Turner went on injured reserve earlier this season. He's been kind of a – well, not kind of. He's been a disappointment this year. He's basically Davenport 2.0. You know, high upside pass rusher from a smaller school. And the injuries, once again, riddling his first year. So we'll see what happens there. Cam Jordan landed on the COVID list Monday. So now he will have to have, since he's vaccinated, he'll have to have back-to-back negative tests to play Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. Because if we're looking at like that that way, excuse me, your top two defensive ends going into Sunday could be Carl Granderson and Javion Holmes, which is not good. So the lack of pressure has been very apparent for the Saints defense. Thankfully, the play at the secondary and the linebacker play, in particular, DeMario Davis, was having another Pro Bowl year. That's kind of covered up that, because they can hold their own for so long. So this defense has been it's done its absolute best when you consider, as you mentioned, just how bad this offense has been through this five game losing streak. So you can't complain too much about the defense. It's just the injuries are really biting them at the defensive line spot.
Alec, tell me a little bit about the coaching, because we talked before about Sean Payton and how I think he's done a pretty respectable job getting this team to 5-7, considering all the litany of problems that you've described over the course of this show so far. Tell me about what his strategy has been, how he's been able to keep this team somewhat afloat, and talk a little bit about Dennis Allen too, because as you said, there are playmakers there in the defense, but some serious deficiencies, yet Dennis Allen has been able to get this team to be an above average defense. So pretty good coaching there from Payton and Dennis Allen. Tell me a little bit about how they've done it.
Right. Not to mention we are on our sixth kicker this year, in case you didn't know that, Scott. Yeah, we really miss Will Lutz. Yeah, last one rough. Six kickers this year. Let's talk about Dennis Allen first. I think he's a guy who certainly, if not already, should be getting head coaching looks this coming season. I think he's a guy who has learned his mistakes when he was in Oakland with the Raiders. And obviously, he's done a tremendous job since taking over for Rob Ryan full-time in 2016. He has done a great job of developing these players. I know the Saints have hit on a lot of draft picks, but, you know, once you pick a player, it is up to the coordinators and the position coaches to really get the most out of those players. And I think Dennis Allen has done a tremendous job doing that since being here. So, yeah, I mean, he's done a tremendous job. He's a guy who I think certainly, again, if not already, should be getting calls about a head coaching gig. I think he would be – I think he's ready again. And with Sean Payton – see, Scott, you spoke very highly of Sean Payton. And if you go on Saints Twitter, it's almost the exact opposite reaction towards Sean Payton during this five-game losing streak, only because going into the season – Sean Payton had been quoted saying that he likes the guys in the wide receiver room and we're just not going to, you know, look to add to the position. And that was after the Saints knew about the whole Michael Thomas debacle, which was to keep him out even longer this season before, you know, he got shut down. So people are not happy with Sean Payton, his evaluation of the wide receiver position. You know, they were in the mix for the Odell run. And as far as I know, from what I've heard, the Saints were seriously in consideration for Odell Beckham Jr. Despite the quarterback situation and all the injuries across the board. The Saints and Sean Payton had gotten into Odell's ear. I feel like if Jameis doesn't get hurt against Tampa, I think Odell signs with the Saints. in my opinion. Not that I know anything, but I think that's what happens. So Sean's done a great job getting this team to 5 wins. And somehow with a real crappy NFC wildcard race, you are still in the mix. I don't know if I personally want to be in the mix anymore, because this team would get bounced in the first round playing Arizona or Tampa or whoever it might be. So I'm fine with just tanking the rest of the year, baby, in my opinion. Let's just get the highest draft pick possible. But that is not in Sean Payton's forte. He's a Bill Parcells guy. He's not a guy who's going to lose games for draft positions purposes. We've seen that before in the Breeze 7-9 seasons. They were competitive up until week 16. So he's done a good job, but I think people have come after Sean Payton. And I think it's because he out-schemes himself, because, you know, we know Sean Payton is a guy who will get the most out of every player possible on the offensive side of the ball. The problem is these guys are just simply not good enough. You can only out-scheme a team so much, right? Like, Sean needs to have a Bill Belichick type offseason where he realizes, okay, my Hall of Famer quarterback is gone. He covered up a lot of holes for my offense, in particular the lack of playmakers. I either got to drop money or invest draft picks and bring some guys in to help out whoever my next quarterback is. So Sean's done a great job, but there's been a lot of criticism, and it's not wrong. But again, this, despite everything that has happened, you somehow beat Tampa, New England, Green Bay, Washington. So there is something there, but we'll just have to see what Sean does. I'm very interested in Sean Payton's approach in the offseason.
Alec, based on everything we've talked about throughout the course of this show, you don't have to give me an exact prediction or an exact score, just a general range of where you think this shakes out. Also, knowing what you know about the Saints, how do you think they approach this game? And if you were Robert Saleh and the Jets, what would you do to go at the Saints' weaknesses?
So I think you pretty much nailed it earlier, Scott. I think if you are Robert Saleh, who, you know, is supposed to be a defensive guru, if I'm not mistaken, look, you got to shut down the running game, whether it's Mark Ingram or Alvin Kamara. I can guarantee you that whoever starts, you know, if Kamara can't go, it'll be Ingram. That the running back will be the key focal point to get that offense rolling. So if you can shut down the run and spy Taysom Hill and keep him in the pocket, if you make Taysom Hill throw, you'll get picks. So I think to me that is a strategy. And I think if you look at the Saints defense, I think you're for the Jets offensively. I think the way to go is to try and get some movement on this defensive line, attack at the line of scrimmage and get some running yards. I think you can run the ball on this team with all the injuries at the defensive end, defensive tackle and whatnot. So defensively, focus on the run and do your best to contain Taysom Hill from scrambling. And offensively, I think if you run the ball, you might be able to surprise this team, because statistically speaking, the Saints are the number one rush defense in the NFL. Somehow, despite all the injuries and whatnot, I think the way to go might be with the run, but who knows? I mean, you could easily counter that and go with the pass and it throw them off guard, because Lattimore does play down to his competition. So, I mean, if Jameson Crowder decides to round him up, it wouldn't shock me whatsoever. As for a winner, man, 3 weeks ago, I would have told you the Saints by 30 on the Jets. now, especially because Zach Wilson looks so good against the Eagles. And I know the Jets ultimately lost, but Wilson looked good. He took the right steps, the right direction, I think, that we needed to see from him. You know, give me the Jets by 3 in an upset.
Wow. Bold prediction from Alec Salas of Full Press Saints. Alec, thanks so much for coming back on the show, brother, and helping me break down the Saints. Really appreciate it. For those that want to follow you on social media, check out all the work that you're doing. How can they get a hold of you, and how can they sample all the work you're putting out?
Yeah, so just give me a follow on my personal page at AASolace98. I'm funny. I'm a Marvel geek too, so there's a plus. I love the Saints, but I also love all the NFL. So I'll talk and chat with you about all the NFL teams. You can follow our podcast at Saints FPC. We talk all things Saints on the Full Press Saints podcast. Listen to our weekly show Thursdays, 3 to 5 Central Time, the Final Drive on Fishbowl Radio Network. We cover all things NFL, NBA, and NCAA. It's lots of fun. And yeah, listen to that Thursdays, 3 to 5 Central on FBRN.us.
There you go. Check out everything Alec is doing and follow him on Twitter. Check out what we've got going on at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got a really good breakdown of Zach Wilson's performance against the Philadelphia Eagles. As Alec said before, a really strong performance overall for Zach Wilson. So check that out. You've got the All 22 to look at there. Luke will take you through all of it. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Check out our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Bless You, Thank You, John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, mugs, hoodies. It's all there right now at the Play Like a Jet store, teepublic.com. And give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.